From just outside the national park, where over 4 million people found beauty and awe in nature, but solitude and isolation can still be easily found, this is that Scott guy you know and love with a new episode of This Week in Yellowstone. What's up, everybody? This week in Yellowstone National Park, March 13th to March 19th, 2025, I give some grizzly bear updates, talk about park visitation, and rejoice over the return of the bluebirds. I also share a cool lunar experience you can have in the park this week, maybe, as well as give you all the wildlife, weather, and trail tips you'll need to have an amazing time in Yellowstone National Park. My standard disclaimer: I might miss a few things, so if there's anything you'd like to know, reach out. I also mention park locations extremely casually, so a quick search might help you if you're unfamiliar with an area I'm talking about. If you can't find it, just reach out to me. Also, this report only covers the drivable areas of the park. So before we dive in, I want to share that this podcast is truly a labor of love. I do not get paid to do it, nor do I have sponsors for it. If you're enjoying this, I'd love to hear from you, whether it's through a quick email message through social media or even a review on whatever podcast player you have. If you'd like to show your appreciation in other ways, I do have guidebooks for sale covering hiking and wildlife watching in the park, and I also give hiking tours in Yellowstone that go beyond the boardwalks and give those who tour with me a deeper, more immersive experience of Yellowstone. If you're interested in the books or a tour, please contact me directly or check out my website, outdoor-society.com. Okay, on to the news. According to a press release that for some reason I didn't get, but NBCMontana.com got, Yellowstone National Park staff observed grizzly bear tracks in the northern part of the park on March 9th. That means that grizzly bears are now active and are coming out of torpor. Not hibernation. Torpor is different than hibernation. Bears don't hibernate. I've explained it before. I'll do it again. Really, what you need to know is continue to be bear aware when you're out in the backcountry. Carry bear spray. Stay alert. Make noise. And when you can, hike in groups and stay away from the bear management areas. Now I'm going to give you a few details about when the first grizzly sightings have happened in previous years. I had recorded something earlier that was like, bears are active, but no one's had confirmation. But now confirmation has occurred, so I'm re-recording this very quickly right before this goes to press, or whatever we say before podcasts go live. So here are the previous year's first bear sightings and first bear tracks. The first grizzly sighting in 2024 happened on March 3rd. In 2023 and on 2022, it was March 7th. In 2021, it was March 13th. And in 2020, it was on March 7th. 2019 was on March 8th. 2018 was March 6th. 2017 was March 15th. And 2016 was February 23rd. Now, the earliest one in the last little over a decade was 2015, where the first grizzly sighting was on February 9th. Of course, if you remember, 2015 was one of the worst snowpacks in park history, and there was no snow when I came and visited in March of that year. So I would expect an early grizzly sighting on low snow years. Other than that, we should have that happening any second now. All right, Yellowstone's February visitation. Yellowstone National Park experienced a 10% decrease in visitation for February 2025 compared to February of 2024. February of 2025 saw 44,133 visitors, 28,253 of which came in through the North Gate of Gardner, which is the only gate you can drive your own vehicle through. February 2025 was the least visited February since 2021. And I'll be releasing a visitation statistics recap episode this weekend or early next week. You know, maybe sooner if I feel up for it, but we shall see. Over snow travel is ending and or has ended. All interior roads will close to oversnow travel on Saturday, March 15th. After that date, there will be no access to the park's interior. As always, the road between Gardner and Cook City, through Mammoth, Tower Roosevelt, and Lamar Valley, is open to personal vehicles throughout the year. The interior road should be opening to bicycle travel in early April, as long as the weather works out and park staff can get everything plowed. Otherwise, select roads are scheduled to reopen to vehicle travel on April 18th. And I'll give you a lot more information on that in the coming weeks, but for now, just know, oversnow travel is ending on Saturday, March 15th. The experience of the week. Don't know why I said it that way. You know, just have to have some fun recording by myself. So the experience of the week is a blood moon and a full moon rise. So my experience of the week for those in and out of the park is to check out the moon on Friday night. That's when the full moon rises. But the real trick is going to be early Friday morning, very late Thursday night. That's when a total lunar eclipse will occur on the night of the 13th and early morning hours of the 14th of 2025, where it will turn the moon red. The total lunar eclipse, or blood moon, will be visible in Gardner starting around 12:55 a.m. Mountain Time on March 14th, 2025, with peak viewing around 2:26 a.m. A lunar eclipse occurs when the moon moves into the Earth's shadow, causing the moon to be darkened. The current weather forecast is going to make seeing the moon extremely difficult, but for those of you not in the cloud-covered region around Yellowstone, maybe stay up late and check it out. While it's not the same level of amazingness as a solar eclipse, there was a time when lunar eclipses were things that brought awe to all. That's a fun thing to say, awe to all. I read it in my mind before I read it out loud, and I probably should have written that better. But if you're interested in lunar events, solar events, why not make 2025 the year you return to some of the simple joys the universe shares with us? I mean, sure, you'll wake up at like 2 a.m., but it's a lunar eclipse. Like, that's cool. And while most will not be up when the moon turns red, you'll also have a chance to see the full moon rise the following evening. The moon, no longer red from the eclipse, will start to rise throughout the park a little after 8 p.m. Hopefully the weather will be clear enough to see it, as moonrises in the park are truly special moments. In a related note, I'm going to be announcing moonrise tours on next week's episode, so stay tuned for that. I've done a few of them. I've absolutely loved them. I've taken some people out, and they've cried at the beauty of the moon rising, which is, you know, something that when I get to share moments like that is truly special, because it's a memorable time, and to take the time to see the moon rise over Yellowstone, you know, it's not a common experience. The tip of the week, the return of the bluebirds. That's the clever title that I wrote. So the bluebirds are back in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. I know, not everyone cares about birds, but most of us who live here rejoice when we see that first flash of blue flying nearby. The bluebird's return means that spring is actually coming, even if snow flurries are falling. While bluebird sightings will probably be slow in the park for another week or so, those hoping to catch a glimpse of them should head north of the park, along Old Yellowstone Road, kind of by the Yellowstone Hot Springs and Devil's Slide. You can also see them around the Tom Miner area at the south end of Paradise Valley, and out by Daly Lake in Paradise Valley. I know these are very specific locations, so if you need more about like where those are and how to get there, just contact me and ask. I'm happy to help you out. It's a cool thing to see. So I was just going to say that, but then I decided, let's dive into a little more about Rocky Mountain bluebirds, because I didn't know much about them until I did this. So here's some fun facts, fun being an objective word. Here's some fun facts about Rocky Mountain bluebirds. Mountain bluebirds have no blue pigments in their feathers. Instead, each feather barb has a thin layer of cells that absorb all wavelengths of color except blue. Only the blue wavelength is reflected and scattered, resulting in their blue appearance to our eyes. Adult males are small and stocky, with a round head and thin bill. The coloration of the adult males is iridescent sky blue overall, darker on their backside than on their underside. Bluebird females of all species have duller plumage than males. This may reduce their visibility to predators. Females and immature mountain bluebirds are mostly gray-brown, with tinges of pale blue on their wings and tails. Their bellies are mostly rusty grayish. So mountain bluebirds seek open areas and higher elevations with a variety of short grasses, shrubs, and trees during breeding seasons to elevations up to 12,500 feet above sea level. And finally, if you're looking for them, they like prairie and tundra edges, meadows, sagebrush flats, alpine hillsides, pastures, and recently burned or clear-cut areas. I wish I could legally cue that old NBC doon 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 more you know rainbow thing, but I can't. But now you know some things about bluebirds. So the weather for this coming week. Before I get to the forecast, I just want to let everyone know that the weather out here is very hard to predict. It gets less accurate the farther out we are from the day, so this is the best forecast I have right now. Always check at the visitor center for an updated weather forecast. So Lamar Valley. After a warm high of 43 on Thursday, Lamar Valley will be slightly snowy and cold. Between Thursday and Tuesday, Lamar could get 8 inches of snow. Highs will be around 30, and lows will be in the teens and 20s. So Cook City will feel more like winter to anyone not from the area this coming week. It could snow up to 17 inches. The snowiest days will be Sunday and Monday, which could see 5 inches of snow each day. Highs will be in the 30s and 20s all week, with lows possibly dipping down to the teens and single digits. In Gardner, Thursday will see clouds and late snow, with highs in the 40s and lows in the 20s. Friday should be partly sunny with highs in the 30s and lows in the 20s. Then once the weekend starts, expect rain or snow every day through Tuesday, with highs in the 30s and 40s and lows in the 30s, 20s, and teens. Wednesday should be partly sunny with highs near 40 and lows in the 20s. Again, that's what the forecast says today, Wednesday, March 12th. Check it before you go. Just trying to give you a bit of an outline, but that could change somewhat in the next few days. We'll see. All right, the snowpack update. The snowpack for the park is still in pretty good shape. The western side of the park is hovering around 100% of normal, while the eastern side of the park is around 89% of normal. At this time last year, the western side of the park was around 80% of normal, and the eastern side was 83% of normal. I don't see the snowpack building too much this coming week, despite some snow showers. It's typically a time when it snows out here, and it's pretty wet, heavy snow. So we should stay at least around the same percentage point. We're looking pretty good for the winter, though, and there's currently no need to worry about anything. We've had a really good snow year. All right, road conditions, speaking of snow. The roads this week won't be ideal, as parts of the road between Mammoth and Cook City are expected to get 8 or so inches of snow between Thursday and Monday. The park will do their best to plow the roads if needed, but expect some snow, slush, or ice while driving. I don't anticipate any road closures due to snow, but, you know, with that 5 inches a day out by Cook City, there might be a slight delay. So for up-to-date information, you can call 307-344-2117 for recorded road conditions, or you can sign up to receive Yellowstone Road Alerts on your mobile phone by texting 82190 to the number 888-777. So you will text the number 82190 to 888-777. Anticipate possible road closures due to inclement weather and dangerous driving conditions. I say that every week. It's just kind of in that blurb. So expect roads to be, you know, slightly winter roads. So camping information. Mammoth Hot Springs continues to be the only campground open in the park. And that remains true for this coming week. If you do camp here, don't expect a lot of other people in the campground. The weather and lack of visitation during this time of year will potentially give you a campground all to yourself. Last month in February, there were 41 people that camped the whole month in Mammoth. So I think there are 78 people that did backcountry camping in February last month. So that's wild. But, you know, that's just what it is. All right. Probably what everyone wants to listen to is the wildlife watching update. So wildlife in the park right now. Bison are on the move. There is a bison herd that left the park yesterday at Gardner and were headed toward, like, down Yellowstone Road. So you could check them out. There's also pronghorn moving back. There have been some foxes hanging out by Floating Island Lake. And wolves have been spotted near like the Blacktail Ponds area, a little further than that, and also out over Hell Roaring and in Lamar. So just kind of drive back and forth for the wolves. People have been seeing otter tracks in the Lamar River Canyon. So definitely check that out. And moose have been spotted off and on out near Round Prairie. Other than that, it's just kind of one of these influx wildlife times where you kind of have to drive back and forth to see what's out there. If you are really looking to see wildlife, the best thing to do is get up kind of early and put in the miles. If you see people pulled off at the side of the road at pullouts and they have binoculars out and spotting scopes set up, stop and look. If you see people looking through their spotting scopes, like actually actively on their spotting scopes, do not pass them. Pull off where you can legally and definitely check it out. That's one of those little tricks that you can kind of drive by and see if people are watching things or waiting for things. If spotting scopes are set up and no one's looking through them, they know that there's wildlife out there, but they're just not visible at the moment. If they're all standing behind their spotting scopes looking through it, they are looking at something. It seems like common knowledge, but it's one of those things that until you're in the park a lot, you don't really notice how to read these wildlife watching scenes as well. And that's one of those things that I love to share. Again, I have a wildlife watching guidebook. If you want to check that out, please consider buying it directly from me, as when they get sold on Amazon, I don't really make any money and Amazon makes more money. So you can get your copy at outdoor-society.com. Also with wildlife watching this week, like I said, the bluebirds are out and you may want to start keeping an eye out for osprey returning. We will have some eagles, both golden and bald eagles, out in the area, and it's kind of just the start of this active season. A lot of people don't like this as a wildlife watching time, but I've had some of my best wolf sightings when all the interior roads close and everyone else kind of goes away. So if you're headed in the park, this week could be very memorable for wildlife watching. Oh, and the one thing that I did forget to mention, and I had to stop and re-record this, was that there are some bighorn sheep hanging out by the hitching post area of Lamar Valley. So that's, you drive all the way through Lamar Valley and there's like the pit toilets and there's a whole bunch of parking areas. It's called the hitching post. If you're there and you're looking back toward the mountains, looking north, you should be able to see some bighorn sheep. They've been hanging out there quite a bit. If they're not there, I did see a lot of bighorn sheep out by in Paradise Valley by Point of Rocks, and you can drive there and toward lower Tom Minor Basin, and there's usually bighorn sheep out there. Hiking news and updates. Expect wintry conditions when hiking in Yellowstone this week. You'll need snowshoes or cross-country skis for pretty much every trail, and I strongly advise traction devices for boardwalks at Mammoth, especially early in the morning. After this week, things might start changing on the trails. I might talk about mud season next week, but for right now, still expect winter conditions. So with wintry conditions still here, what trail should you hike? So my trek of the week is the Yellowstone River Overlook Trail at the Yellowstone River Picnic Area. It's located just across from the soon-to-be-replaced bridge over the Yellowstone River as you're headed toward Lamar Valley from Tower. You'll find the Yellowstone River Picnic Area. It's minimally signed, but this picnic area is home to one of the most underrated hikes in Yellowstone National Park, in my opinion. This is also one of my most frequented trails in the park, and no matter what the season, it's always worth visiting. I'm recommending it this week for two reasons. One is that the trail is decently trafficked, and the snow should be beaten down pretty well. The other reason I'm recommending this is that it is a short and relatively easy hike, and it's a trail that you won't be able to do once the construction on the bridge starts up again in real spring. There's only a few more weeks where you can hike this from the Yellowstone River Picnic Area. So best known for showcasing the unique geology and sweeping views of the canyon, river, and mountains of the Northern Range, this hike makes for the perfect half-day jaunt. Not only will you see eagles, bison, bighorn, sheep, and migratory birds, the views should leave you absolutely dazzled. The only real difficulty of this trail is the start, which quickly climbs from the picnic area. One of my secret, I'm putting that in quotation marks because it's not a secret, but one of the tips I have for this hike is to ignore the trailhead to the left of the pit toilet and instead go to the right, following the boot path up the meadow to the top of the hill. Well, you can hike up the rail trail. You're actually going to be missing some seriously good views by taking that standard route. The boot path leads to a fantastic lesser-known view of the canyon and the Yellowstone River, and it's only 0.2 miles away. So keep this in mind for a quick leg stretch if you don't feel like a real hike. Follow the trail to the top of the ridge as best you can. When covered in snow, it can be slightly difficult to find. Luckily, the path route isn't complicated. Stay on the canyon rim. If you head too far over the canyon rim, you're going to fall off. If you head too far left, then you're not on the canyon rim. So stay on the canyon rim. After about a half mile from the parking area, you get to one of my favorite views. And here, you'll get to that bend of the river at the base of Bumpus Butte. Bumpus Butte is a fun name that I know a lot about, but not anybody else really knows what it is. But you'll know it's Bumpus Butte by the steam coming off the base where it meets the river. Well, you could turn around here. Going another half mile or so will take you to a spot directly across from the popular Calcite Springs Overlook. To the northeast, which is behind you if you're looking at the river, you get majestic mountain views. Expect to gain about 400 feet in elevation along this hike. And with that, that is the end of this week's episode. Next week, I'll talk about the wolf release that happened 30 years ago, give tips on how to be prepared for the park's elevation, share a trail just outside of the park that is perfect for this time of the year, and continue to let you know everything else you'll need to have a good trip in Yellowstone. Until next week, bye! This Week in Yellowstone is brought to you by the Outdoor Society, because that's my company, and that's where this is hosted. There are no sponsors. This is a labor of love, so thank you all for listening. Copyright 2025, baby!